Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 244. This is the Do-It-Yourself podcast. Adam is doing a little bit of construction here. He will be bringing out the welding torch in a minute.
I don't have one.
You know, is that the problem?
That's why I got to put this back together.
Okay. He bought a little Pokemon pedometer and he's been trying to fix it.
I think I can do it.
Okay.
That's from the 90s, Adam? Or
it's from the late
90s. Late 90s.
Late 90s.
The later
part
of that decade.
There's a difference between technology in the early 90s and the late 90s.
Yeah.
Especially a Pokemon pedometer. Yes.
Now it's Pokemon Go.
Right. So you went out and bought a Pokemon pedometer from the late 90s.
No, I didn't go to the late 90s.
You have a time machine.
I don't have a time machine, Colin.
We're burying the lead.
If I did, wouldn't I buy a new one? Jeez, use your head, time traveler. So who's with you today, Colin?
Well, my name's Colin McMahon. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Adam.
Yeah.
Where's everybody else?
They quit. They've had enough of you.
Is it something you said?
No, it was you, actually.
What did I say?
I'm not getting into it.
Was it that bad?
It was. Josh is in Minnesota, and Pat... was going to be at a meeting, but his meeting got canceled, but he is having a medical emergency, similar to my medical emergencies. So, no, nothing bad. He's having a knee problem. So.
Is it gout?
It is gout. Yes.
Oh, no. So he can't make fun of you on that.
So he caught it from me, apparently. No,
it's contagious.
It's not.
Through what? How? How is it contagious?
It's not contagious.
Gross.
I am a little under the weather. I just have a sore throat, so. Talking is great.
You're going to talk your way.
Well, it's funny. Georgia. Monday, Sandy called me at home. She's like, oh, did you just wake up? You sound like you just woke up. I said, no, honey. This is my Barry White voice.
Cool.
I'm not sleeping. You sound like, is that what you think I do all day on my day off is just sleep?
Did she like that? Or did she like...
Not particularly.
Was she like disgusted?
No.
Just,
well,
yeah. Gross.
I don't think she was disgusted.
By your impersonation of Barry White.
Right. No, just because... voice gets lower
like,
when you...
She's like, you have a bad impersonation. Barry White.
So, we're two men down. And so, Pat's news. Don't really have any news.
Pat?
Pat's not here. No. Marvel has started releasing some promo images for some new X-Men books that are going to be part of their Resurrection thing. And so far, we've seen Iceman, Weapon X, and then today was Jean Grey. So, looks like we're going to be getting some series or miniseries or something spinning out of this. So, maybe they're just trying to say, hey, we are committed to X-Men.
I know. Were surprised by this at all, that they're trying to make... It looks like they're trying to make a commitment to the X-Men.
Here. Maybe. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't.
I don't know why they haven't.
Because, you know, I was thinking about that with the whole Inhumans versus X-Men thing, and I'm like... So what is the point of this? Because 95% of the people are going to be rooting for the X-Men. Because, no offense, nobody really likes the Inhumans.
Everybody loves Karnak, though.
If the book shipped, it'd be great. So it was just one of those. So I'm happy they're kind of focusing, but it might, are these just going to be miniseries? Or are they going to be unannounced miniseries? Like, apparently Mockingbird was stealth canceled, and today's issue was the last one without them ever telling us at issue 8. Which is weird because the first trade just came out today as well, which is 1 through 5. So it's like, so those last three issues are going to be abandoned forever.
Did they give any creative teams on these yet?
No, all we've had is the cover image thing.
Okay. I'm kind of curious to see who's on Iceman.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is this may be in next week's previews, but I doubt it. They tend to like to hype stuff even before that, so this might not be until the December previews. So that's it. The Guardians trailer dropped. It's the Guardians trailer. Or Guardians 2.
I think it's just like a sneak,
sneak
preview to the teaser trailer.
More people were more excited about the poster being released than they were for
I saw
but Yondu was on the poster, which
it was
a little more prominent.
Like, yeah, it looks like he's gonna be part of the Guardians, proper this time. This time around.
So that's cool. But no, nothing really big about that. Just that and the poster.
Yeah. Cool poster. I like the poster.
I did too. I thought they thought it out really well. I'm excited for it. I mean, with the with how well the other one did, and it was a movie I was unsure about. I say go for it, you know, and I think that that poster just is appealing to people. I think it'll help. So no, I'm excited.
Cool.
We got a while though.
Yeah, I think it's what, this summer.
I think it's this summer.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll be the.
That's not the May movie, is it? No, isn't that Spider-Man? Spider-Man's the May movie.
No, I think Guardians is going to be, you know, like the free comic book day movie.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the new Spider-Man.
No, I don't think Spider-Man.
I don't think Marvel would focus on that one as much as they're on.
I'd have to look. Spider-Man may not be till June or something.
Okay, that could be.
Yeah, being that's still Sony.
Well, but Spider-Man has been the movie in the past.
Yeah. But yeah.
Dave's doing some investigative journalism right now.
Oh, we don't get that from Pat.
If there's any callers that have any questions about any parking ordinances or things like that, please call in. Dave's really well schooled on that.
Watch your phone ring, and it's like, wait, what?
If you need
no, that'd be from Utah calling to tell me that my Google Maps yeah. listing is incomplete.
If you need a variance, keep your mind. I'm the person to call.
Okay, cool. So sadly, yeah, I did not investigate news. I do apologize.
I didn't see that much, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's funny. There was somebody on Twitter.
Spider-Man's July 7th.
Oh, okay.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Somebody was complaining about why the comic news sites don't have comic news anymore, that it's all TV and movie. And it kind of made me want to not talk as much about that stuff, especially in the past. We've spent hours talking about TV and stuff. And haven't really watched much yet.
I have to agree with you about those comic news sites though, with the videos and stuff. I went on one the other day.
Oh yeah,
it was just it would slow my computer's pretty fast too, and it slowed it down completely.
This is
the fastest computer. I apologize for interrupting you, Dave.
Apologize.
But, you know, we can probably talk about Nick Spencer's little run.
Yeah, I was going to go off on that.
I think that's a good little bit of news.
Yeah, it was funny. This was Monday night, and I actually had trouble sleeping after reading this tweet. Not in a horrible, horrible way, but just thinking about it, just kind of replying. But I saw this tweet from him where it said, "Weird to see so many, quote, fans demanding less variety, less diversity, and less choice in superhero comics. Careful what you wish for there." And my assumption is that this is in regards to retailers talking about how poorly Marvel's number ones last week did. With their big number ones were Great Lakes Avengers, Solo, and Mosaic. And on the retailer boards, a lot of talk about how poorly those did. Most stores, single digits and stuff. I think I sold 2 copies of Solo, I think 5 Mosaics. And I did sell out through all 10 copies of Great Lakes Avengers, but the fact that I only ordered 10 copies of a Marvel number one is crazy. You know, it used to be so good, but especially Great Lakes Avengers, I'm looking at going, who cares? You know, who out there is demanding this book? You know, a team of people that spawned Squirrel Girl, and she's not even in the book. So I did underestimate that demand. But, it's just it has not been well received, and stores are concerned what's going to happen with the rest of the releases. Their big claim was October they were taking back market share and stuff. And I'm looking, like, this week we got Infamous Iron Man, and not much is coming next week.
We've talked about this before, about how the Marvel heroes are not the Marvel heroes, and how we want...
Right, and you know what, I had started... Yeah.
It sounds like they're biting their, you know...
The backlash is happening. Yeah,
face your nose off to spite your face.
And then he also made another tweet about when Marvel regains their dominance again.
That was my main thing.
Yeah, when Marvel is on top again, as they almost always are, what would the market be saying then? And it's just like, don't be so cocky. You have 2 Marvel books. One is Ant-Man, which just had its last issue, number 11 today. I'm presuming for low sales. I ordered in 4 with no holds. And his other one is Sam Wilson, Captain America, which isn't doing anything great. So, he's doing the Steve Rogers one too, which is doing better. But it's like, you know, I understand being a homer, you know, and being rooting for your team, but it's like, look at the big picture. Like you're saying, it's not our heroes. And I was talking with Matt just now. And I said, part of my concern is every A-list Marvel hero has been replaced.
Yeah.
And not Spider-Man, but they're doing a story called Clone Conspiracy. Yeah. So, you know, I see that as a potential plot point as well.
I don't want to badmouth diversity because I think it's important.
Diversity is great, but a little diversity goes a long way. Yeah. Doing diversity along every book.
But I was saying yesterday, like, it's not just about diversity. It's also about, I think it's more about creativity. And we're not seeing that creativity. And you can do something with a diverse character, but you have to have reason. And I think they come into this and they're just like, here, we need a diverse character. Let's make a story around it instead of just having a story to tell. And I think that kind of just, I think that kind of just messes them up. I think that's kind of the problem. The other thing with Nick Spencer that I have a I have an issue with his argument is, who argues with numbers? Like, not the numbers are the numbers. That's not coming from people. The thing is, the retailers are, it's hurting the retailers that these comics aren't as good. It's the readers. And why would you argue with the readers? Why would you sit there and just be like, oh, the readers, they'll know? Because in the end, that's what he's doing.
Have you seen the sales charts for the past couple of months?
Yeah.
Marvel only has, like, one book in the top 10, two in the top 20, maybe three in the top 30. Everything else is, you know, DC.
Yep.
Maybe an Image, Walking Dead. But
I just
have to believe their sales would... They should see this, look at this, and see that their sales would go up if they get, you know, the real Avengers back.
Yeah. I agree. You know, give some reason for it. And then create diverse characters into that. Don't just throw them out to us and just be like, this is what you should be reading. I feel like that's what they're telling me. They're not just introducing him. Like, I think Miles Morales does as well as Miles does because they kind of introduce them into the universe.
Yeah.
Into the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
With this, they're just like, here's, we're going to switch all your characters over into, you know, we're gonna make Hulk into this character. We're going to do this to this character. But there's no reason behind it. But with when they did have Miles, I think they did okay because at least the character died. He was a legacy character. You had something to build off of. In this case,
Miles,
you don't.
Miles
they just
replace.
Throw it out there and they're just
well,
like...
Well, and then
like,
they also brought... Parker. They brought Miles into the main Marvel universe. Why? You know,
well,
what's his purpose
I think they messed
that?
It up for him. Because I think that character did so much better when he was in the Ultimates because he had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He replaced Peter after Peter died.
Right.
And this one, you're just like, okay, he's in the universe now, but we have no backstory to why. Mm. We don't know, why did he become Spider-Man? If he's not part of the Ultimate Universe, then whose legacy is he taking up? He just became a Spider-Man for absolutely no reason? I mean, his origin is completely
Did he forget spread. Everything that happened to him before in the Ultimate Universe?
It's not really set.
I mean,
and the whole thing
that?
Is, like, he's created, his character was created just like, Peter in the Ultimate Universe, where Peter was taking a field trip to his high school at Oscorp, and he went in and the spider bit him. Well, in this case, the spider, Prowler, his uncle, was robbing Oscorp, and the spider snuck into his bag, and then it came out and bit Miles when he was at home. The thing is, like, okay,
totally
it's not
different.
The same. It's not the same, but the thing is, it's not the same Norman Osborn. So where does he come from?
Yeah.
So you don't have that, because when you change time, that doesn't exist anymore. If he wasn't created in the Ultimate Universe, because it's not the same Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no point to it. But that's kind of it.
Well, I think the bigger point to it, though, is their intentions, whatever they are, it doesn't matter. The market isn't biting. The market isn't jumping on, right? They're not jumping on, as a whole, the books, especially like these ones that came out last week. Like Solo is clearly a miniseries designed to keep a trademark on the name Solo for a character. You know, no one demanded this book. No one's super interested. Mosaic, I'm looking at. Okay, so many problems with this. Only in the sense of. It's an Inhuman who aren't exactly, didn't catch on. They've had one or maybe two appearances in one of the Inhumans books, so barely shown up, and all of a sudden now has a new book, and then the book was $5. So,
yeah.
You know, somebody looks at it going, oh, it's a new Inhuman. Don't care. really don't care at $5.
But if you think about it, how many books did Marvel have last week that were that much? Like, yeah. I was saying,
Darth Vader was six.
Darth Vader was a $6 book. Clone Conspiracy was a $5 book. Yeah. And then this was a $5 book. Yeah. It's just like, do they not want people to pick things up?
I don't know. You know, I was just saying, another one of Nick Spencer's tweets was that, you know, Marvel's basically being a loss leader on this, you know, selling all these cheap books, trying to reclaim some market share. It's like, no, I think they realized what an actual price of a book that's, you know, reasonable is so that they can sell books, and it's doing very well. People are buying the books. When you can get almost two DC books for the price of Mosaic, well, mm-hmm. what are you going to go?
Yeah.
Are you going to pick up Batman and Superman, or are you going to pick up Mosaic? So I just think they're assuming they're going to do well. Like, they put number ones on all their books this week, even though it's issue 7 and things like that. And nobody's biting. Nobody's coming in going, Marvel number ones, because we get Marvel number ones so often.
Because we're totally dumb and realize
Something I did see today, for the Monsters Unlimited, they're doing this again like they did during Age of Ultron. Is we're going to get issues where it's going to be the same number as that's out, regular, but it's going to have MU after the titles, and it's a monster tie-in. And the reason they do this is, again, in my system...
They did that with Age of Ultron,
It says, this is another issue of Spider-Man, and I have to, you know, the computer tells me I have this many holds for it, even though it's a Monsters Unlimited one. So it's just intentionally confusing us not knowing how to order it. Because I'm sorry, I don't see this Monsters book being big at all. I don't see anybody really caring.
Yeah.
You're coming out with a monster book in, I think, January. Why? You know, just, if you're going to do a monster book, normally you do that in October.
Yeah, right.
So it's just, it's a lot of, what are you doing? A lot of confusion. And it's much easier, if you don't understand, to pass. Like, okay, Infamous Iron Man came out today. Great. But it's dealing with the aftermath of what happened in Civil War II Iron Man. And, okay, but that hasn't happened yet. And you're getting your books out of order, and, you know...
Yeah, that's me and Tim. He texted us.
Great.
I answered him.
I'm podcasting. I'm trying to satisfy the needs of our listeners. And you guys are tweeting about Pokemon.
That sounds kind of kinky.
No, it's not. So what is it? Oh... Documents, yeah, great. The pre-show debate, the debate pre-show's on right now. Man, we are so sacrificing for you
Who's
guys.
Who's the moderator?
Guy from Fox News.
Chris Wallace.
He'll be fair and balanced. Don't worry about it.
Bill O'Reilly said he's gonna take control. He's not gonna let the candidates get away with anything, any crap.
What a joke.
Hey now, this is a politics-free.
Right.
Podcast.
We didn't say anything against anybody.
Right. So yeah, I just
Bill O'Reilly.
Marvel. I just kind of wish they just need to look at the totality of the evidence, see what's going on, see what's working, what's not, and we just seem to be getting a lot of stuff that just doesn't have a.
I'm just on the feel. You know, I'll continue to be on the Fantastic Four bandwagon. I'm just waiting for a Fantastic Four
book
to come. I want to see how many solos and Great Lakes Avengers books have to come out before we get a Fantastic Four book.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm waiting for a Fantastic Four book. Actually, it's kind of sad.
It's been like a year and a half already.
Yeah. Well, I watched that newest movie of Fantastic Four, and after watching it, I was like, I wish we had a Fantastic Four book again. Just for that, because I've always liked those guys. Like, the Fantastic Four, Doom.
It's always been,
I like the characters.
It's always been one of my favorite books, so yeah.
But, no, you need to read Solo.
But I got... I don't know if I can read
Solo's going to be the number of books. That's where I'm at, actually. Solo's the amount of Marvel books.
Hater. But yeah, so it's just, you know, stores aren't not ordering their books for vengeance or anything. We're looking at the sales numbers, looking at demand. And especially, it's just so ironic when you have another company doing so well. When I forget who I was talking with, but I'm like, I sold more copies of Future Quest than I did any Avengers book last month.
Yeah, really?
And it's just like, that's insane. Because Future Quest, if nothing else, is a niche book. Where Avengers should be, you know, half the people coming in should be picking, you know, up Avengers. You know, it's their big book.
That kind of shows you that the DC must have marketed this Hanna-Barbera books
pretty
young
well. People, are there young people buying the Future Quest?
I can't see.
Not so much. Yeah, not really.
That's what I'd figure.
But, you know, he's not kind of marketing towards him in the store because it's...
I don't have it in the kids section. Yeah. It's on the regular shelf.
Right. But I wouldn't expect you to either because I don't think it's necessarily for that. But I think it's just something different. I think that's the big thing.
Flintstones, now that's a kid's book. Yeah.
That's the key, though, is that they're just different. Different is the key. People are wanting something different to read out of that. You know, if they want to watch the superhero stuff, they will. That wasn't me this time. You know, I think that's just what it is. I think, you know, people are, even though some people, a lot of people, including myself, are not understanding the Young Animals books, they're different and they're fun to read still. Because it's just, you're wondering, okay, where's this going to go, you know? So that's, I think, what people are looking for. Marvel's not giving them that. They're giving them different stuff, but they're giving them stuff people aren't going to be interested in to begin with. I think there could be a niche for Hanna-Barbera books of Johnny Quest and Birdman and all those characters.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, what's this all about? You know, what's this? It just, that's what I said when I was picking it up. And, you know.
Well, no, I used to get, Marvel had, when I started getting comics back in late 70s, Marvel had the Hanna-Barbera license. So I'd buy Laugh Olympics, Yogi Bear. And Flintstones books, so it's great that those titles are back, and
it's just they're not even back; they're taking a creative direction,
in a different form. Yeah. Exactly, and you gotta grow up a little.
But some of these, I think they could have dealt with them a little better. Like as I said, we were talking about before the podcast. I think Flintstones has been good. I think Scooby's been good, but the problem with Scooby and the other two books. They just don't move along, and I don't think they're not progressing at all, and I think that's what they need to do, and they're not, and I think that might hurt these a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, but who is Nick Spencer to come in and tell people? You know, that really makes me want to read his books. Why?
Yeah, telling people they
bite the hand that feeds you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden I'll just be like, you know what? I'm not interested in Nick Spencer book. Now I'll see his name on a book and I'll just be like, that guy likes to whine because he's weak.
Ooh.
He is. That's a sign of weakness.
Are you saying comic sales charts are rigged? Is that what you're claiming?
I think comic sales charts are rigged.
Everything's rigged.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Now, I do get what he's saying, where when you look at DC, you know, we're double shipping, you know, not we, they are double shipping, gosh, there we go, everybody's going to jump on that, but, you know, so you get two Batman, two Detective, you know, there's not a lot of stuff, but then you have to look at Young Animal. What does Marvel have that compares to Doom Patrol, or Shade the Changing Girl, or this week's Cave Carson, things like that? So, yes, you have a lot of diversity, but it's not catching on. People, you know... Again, you're just replacing characters with other characters where DC's coming out with different things.
And how does that do anything? Okay, you know, I want a reason for why we have this character that may be black or Mexican or whatever they decide.
Well, we have a new Iron Man because of clearly what happens in Civil War.
Instead, it's just like, okay, we have a new Iron Man, or not a new Iron Man, an Iron Woman, I guess. And
a girl,
whatever. And make them black, or make this character this, and it's just like, yeah, but why? That's too easy, you know? Don't give us a story on this character. Develop this character into something, this diverse character.
I have
a reason. It makes the character seem more likable.
Give them some more weight, too.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, Mosaic, where out of nowhere, here, this character has a book. Why? You know, why am I interested in this character?
We're being told that he's important.
Right.
Look at characters from the past. Like, look at characters like Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern. I mean, they gave him a reason. They separated him and made him into a character that was different than Hal Jordan, not just by the color of his skin, but by his backstory, by who he is, by, you know, he's a completely different character. You know, but to just throw one as somebody in there and just be like, oh, well, it's this person, we're diverse now. That's sometimes worse than just, you know, I don't know. It just seems like a cop-out. Like, have reason. You know, just don't throw it out there to us and just be like, well, you're going to like it because it's a, this kind of character, right? You know, they're this race or they're this. Yeah, but why?
My other fear...
It's disrespectful, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
well, exactly. My other fear is that they're completely forgetting a huge segment of their market, which is collectors.
Yeah.
And every time you change a character, it's a reason for someone to stop getting it. You know, you loved Iron Man, you read Iron Man for years, and now, well, first you had to suffer through Superior Iron Man, which people did, you know, Iron Man is a jerk. Yeah. Well, that's a book everybody wants to read.
Yeah.
And then now he's gone and replaced with other characters, and it's just, well, you know what? I was liking Thor until you replaced him. I was liking Hulk, and then you replaced him. And now you're doing it with Iron Man. Anything to get the people to stop getting the books is bad. Like, yes, they've renumbered Batman twice, but if you're a Batman fan, okay, you just, you know,
you just pick
keep getting it. So every time they do these big changes to the core of the character, I think it's giving people an opportunity to jump off. My fear is, but so now, you know, like I keep, you know, guessing that this summer they're all going to come back. Will everybody come back? Oh, Tony Stark's back. Whatever. I'm on to something else. I've read this. I've done this. And bad for me. Oh, now I'm into video games. Now I'm, you know, got something else going on. So not, you know, disregarding the fact that people collect. You know, every time you come out with a new number one, there's a chance people are going to stop. But completely changing the characters, you know, they brought back Steve to Captain America, but my numbers are nowhere near what they were, like, Brubaker numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really hope they can fix X-Men, because I can't believe how low my X-Men numbers are. And it used to be, you know, I'd love the Uncanny X-Men week, because that was, you know, half a box of polls. Well, now, you know... I have a hard time finding Uncanny X-Men when I'm doing the polls because it's just such a little small section.
Well,
that's just.
When was the last time X-Men sold well for you? Who was the writer or artist?
I want to say this is when I stopped reading it at Battle of the Atom, and I don't, you know. Because you had, you know, it was interesting when Bendis was doing the all-new X-Men. That was kind of interesting with the young ones and stuff. But I don't know when the last time that, you know, like, Uncanny was really a must-read book.
Especially since you've been open.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, and, you know, sadly, when I opened, Brubaker was writing it. After that, I think it was Fraction. You know, so they've had good writers on it. But it's been a while since it's been a must-read book.
Brubaker sent them into space.
Yeah.
Right? That was his, what he did.
In Marvel's defense with X-Men, though, I think if any book that has been written into a corner, I think it's the X-Men. Because I think they've gotten to a point where, and I've said this about X-Men before, and it was very much like that with the third movie. When you make them characters that people don't necessarily fear or hate or anything like that, then what's their point? What makes them any different? And they did that. After a while, they were just like, well, we don't necessarily discriminate against X-Men anymore. You know, they're mutants. And when they did that, it was...
But it's just gone. So weird because, like, in the 80s, the X-Men were the huge thing.
Yeah.
You know, when I was reading. And then in the 90s, they were bigger than big.
But in that time...
So it's just...
In that time, they were hated in the books. They could write stuff dealing with discrimination. That they felt they were separated from the rest of the world, you know, that they were hated. In the 90s, the thing was two things. One, the television show, the cartoon show.
Yeah.
Two, Chris Claremont and Jim Lee taking on the characters again. And they were, once again, they were hated characters because of the TV show. The cartoon show made them as, they, you know, you had the Sentinels and all this and, you know, characters that were out to get them and, you know, the government didn't like them and stuff like that. Once that's gone, what's the point? And it got to that point. And then, like, I liked... where I was really enjoying X-Men again was Second Coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it took it back to that point where... you know, well, House of M. Because they were almost extinct. You know? And they could... there was a little bit of a fear there that they had of... Well, they can get wiped out because there's only 198 of them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that made it a good story. But I think they're just... I think they're written into a corner.
I like Joss Whedon's two Astonishing X-Men. Were you open when that was...
No, I was open when it finished, but not when it started.
Okay. I like that. The first issue, they're like... They're getting cost... That's after... I think that was after Graham Morrison's run, and they were wearing all the Dayglow stuff, and they got their costumes back, and Cyclops is like, you know, superheroes wear costumes, Wolverine. That's why we're getting costumes back.
Do you need it more?
I'm good. I'll
be honest. Sorry, we're arguing over the phone charger.
It's over the charger. Yeah, but I think there's they can... I think they can't. Well, I've said it for a while that I think X-Men needs to be taken out of the regular Marvel universe.
Well, and that was part of the talk that they did after Secret Wars and the part of this Death of X and where are they? But it's just, I don't know, just...
I think they could have... The thing is, when they have a chance to write themselves out of a corner, they never
They haven't, yeah. AVX was a perfect opportunity to do a new 52.
Not even that, but what about Secret Wars?
Exactly, they did again with...
So they've had two things. They could have done that with a long time ago, and they don't. Well, that's just bad organization for them, I think. And that's something I've said for a long time with Marvel. They can't structure anything. They can't build a good, you know, solid universe. It's just all over the place, so they don't want to focus so much on this one, but they want to focus on Groot and Guardians of the Galaxy because of movies. Well, then you just left X-Men alone, you know, and you're not worrying about it. You need to kind of get it together and figure out what you want to do for the next 10 years in Marvel Comics. And I think in the last 10 years with Quesada and when Bendis had the helm of Avengers and all that, I think they thought out what is the next 10 years of Marvel going to be? And I think that's why that last 10 years of from what, 2000 to
I remember when Joe Quesada came in as editor-in-chief, and he was really meticulous about cutting the fat. And each book, you know, has to have a certain point of view and not repeat stuff. And that's we got X-Men, Ecstatics, and all the X-Men books had a X-Force, you know, had a certain point of view.
Yeah,
and nothing was repeating itself.
And I've been like the thing about when Joe Quesada left and isn't doing that job anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's when things started to fall apart because I think and you know a lot of people say whatever they want about him. I think he had an idea of okay, what are we gonna do? You know,
he did.
You got a person in there that's not, and I think they're focused on the movies, and I think they're focused on this. That it's just like they're not looking. What can we do with the comics? And a lot of people are like, well, they don't care about the comics anymore so much because they got the movies. Well, nobody's just gonna let it stop. Like, why would you want to make less money on something when you can make more money on it? You know, why are you trying to not worry about the comics? You know, but I think they've had the opportunity to say, this is what we want to do, and they haven't taken it. And I think that's what they need to do. I think, you know, the Ultimate Universe, I think they just let fall apart.
Oh yeah.
I think they did that. And I think they had something there. The Ultimate X-Men story was good because they were able to almost reboot X-Men from the beginning and tell a fresh take on the X-Men. And I think it was so good, and then they did Ultimatum, and they just killed everybody. They were just like, let's kill all the characters and start again. It's just like, whose idea is that?
Yeah.
Why are you going to kill off your characters and replace Wolverine with Wolverine's son, who has basically the same powers? Just like, what? Like, okay, what was the point of that? Yeah. So they hurt themselves. They do. And I just think there's a lot they can do. Like, you can read a lot of good X-Men titles that are... you know, from Ultimate, that like one of my favorite I recommend to a lot of people is Return of the King, which is basically Magneto's return to his return, basically. And there was a whole story about him throughout building up of his return throughout the whole comic. The first one is really good when they form the team and they get Iceman and somebody else and they're forming a new X-Men team and they go after Magneto for the first time and then they defeat Magneto, and he's presumed dead. That Xavier kills him, and then it moves on to a new story. But as it goes, it built up the Return of the King story, which was just really good. But they had good stuff, and they just don't have that anymore. So that's that's what I want to see with Marvel. I want them to, and that's the thing I think too many people say with us that we hate on them, but I don't think we hate on them. I think the most of us here are Marvel fans that are very disappointed.
As always, what I try to say is I expect more out of them. Yeah. They have such great characters, and they have good creators involved, but it just seems like the product just that they're coming out with isn't really catching on.
Yeah.
Spider-Man has this big event, and it should be just blowing things away, yeah. And I'm looking at Spider-Man was my sixth best-selling book today.
And it could possibly be a good event, too. The thing is, it's a little too late. You know, you got a lot of people jumping off a ship because they're not interested in that. Plus, people are burned out on events.
Yeah.
So you might have a good one that you want to tell.
Oh, I want to read.
It's a little too late.
Yeah, and this one went, it's Spider-Man and Clone Conspiracy. Oh, and Prowler and Silk. Well.
Again, Silk.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, just for fun. So my top 10 books today were Batman, Dark Knight Master Race, mm-hmm. Superman, Justice League, Nightwing, then Spider-Man. Green Arrow, Aquaman, Cave Carson, and Infamous Iron Man. So, yeah, Cave Carson outsold Iron Man. So, you know, but I think that's also a case
that I can see that.
No, but that's a case of it's different. Yeah. And I think that's something people do like. Iron Man is, or Dr. Doom is Iron Man. Okay, it's different, but. Whereas Cave Carson, I have no idea what this is. So, who knows?
Well, you know what? If Marvel thought this out, and they brought out a bunch of new titles, they kind of did almost a DC thing, where they do like a rebirth type thing, and they brought an Avengers book, and it had a solid team, I would pick it up. But you bring out a team that's just like, okay, we're going to have, like, what is this?
The new team is, we don't know about Iron Man, so it might be Riri. We have Falcap, Lady Thor, Vision, and Hercules. Yeah. Oh, and the new Wasp.
So
the daughter of Hank Pym.
So right there, it just doesn't, it's not appealing.
Yeah.
So and it's I would just, rather see Avengers reassembled with...
I've said
with Thor and Steve Rogers, Captain America, and Tony Stark, Iron Man, and
we're getting Avengers .1, which is Cap's kooky quartet, going back into the 20 issue numbers, but back to that. So it's like, okay, interesting, but okay.
Yeah. Well, like okay, back to what you were saying about Avengers, though. What I'd like to see is that a strong team of the. Your regular character, even if you want to do the movie characters, I don't care. As long as they're similar to the how they feel. Like the way I see it, like I like Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow in the movies, but it's not the same Black Widow as in the comics. I want to see that one. Now, as you're telling this story, then bring some of these characters in that you have. Like you want to add different characters and give them a purpose. Have them training with somebody, you know, and then bring them in, kind of like how the DC did with Shazam, where Shazam wasn't on the team originally, and then they gradually brought him in, and then he felt like he was always on the team. But kind of bring him in. Don't just be like, okay, here's your team, this is what you're going to get. That's not what people are wanting. If you're not seeing what people are wanting, and then don't have your writers on Twitter arguing with people about, well, this is what you should like.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me what I want to read?
You cannot tell people how to feel.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's the whole thing. So it's just, you know, truthfully, if they had a team, now it's going to be harder with X-Men than to do something like that. But if they had an Avengers team where I'm just like, oh yeah, I know these guys. These are the Avengers. You know, then I can live with that. Even when they did New Avengers, when Bendis did New Avengers, you had Cap, you had Iron Man. But they added a few other people. They added Luke Cage and that stuff. But their characters we kind of knew. But that was a cool team. I didn't mind that. Spider-Man became one. That, but you still had some of the others. It just... And now you have them and you're like, who are these guys? How are they?
Well, that was when Bendis got on Avengers. That was what he wanted to do. He wanted to make it like the Justice League and bring all the bring all the huge characters of the Marvel Universe together. Adding Spider-Man, Wolverine.
Yep. And he did it.
Yeah.
And I think he did a fantastic job for a while until it started to turn into whatever was happening at the end of Bendis' run. But he did a lot of good stories. House of M is one of my favorites. Disassembled is one of my favorites. You know, Bendis did Ultimate Spider-Man, one of my all-time favorite books. I mean, it just, you know, they need to just get it together, I think, is their main thing. And That's why I try to tell Matt, too, when Matt's here, and I'm just like, I don't want to say that I'm... I don't want to hate on them. I just... I'm disappointed in what we're getting.
Yeah.
I think they could be better. And you know, and then the whining on Twitter doesn't help. Yeah. Doesn't help.
Because we care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what... Because, you know, a lot of us, I think, started on Marvel. Oh. I wasn't a DC person. I was not at all a DC person. But right now, DC... is giving me what I'm interested in. Marvel isn't.
Yep.
You know? And, yeah, you can tell me that, oh, well, you should be enjoying these more diverse teams. And I'm just like, I'm not. Yep. I want to, but I'm not. And I don't. And, you know, give a better reason. Bring them in. I don't know anything about these characters. Why should I invest anything into them? Why should I invest stuff into characters that they haven't really built up a story? You know, all of a sudden you're throwing me a new iron person, and you're expecting me to just be like, oh, I'm on board. I'm going to invest money into, what is it, $5 now, into a book about a character I don't know who they are. But instead, why don't you bring them into that book and then gradually make them? Jim Rhodes, they did that with him, with Iron Man. They brought Rhodey into that character, and Iron Man was Rhodey for a while.
It's hard to bring characters into other books when none of the series lasts more than 12 issues or so. And nothing's continually numbered.
Maybe
anymore.
If they had something solid and people were reading it, they wouldn't have to reboot as much. Mm. That's kind of the thing.
Yep.
So, that's our rant.
Yeah. Way to go.
A rant with that. We can go on for this for a while. That's the thing.
Just make good comics. That's all people want.
Right.
Compelling comics. Good stories.
There's even some of DC that I'm not really of the Rebirth that I am, but there's a lot that I am liking. Like, you know, I think they've tried very hard with Blue Beetle. And that Blue Beetle book, that first issue. The Rebirth one wasn't too bad. But the number one just wasn't, I didn't think, very good. Mm. They're trying so hard with Cyborg to make a good Cyborg book, and it's just not happening. I mean, and I don't know if it's going to. But again, you know, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
If people aren't liking it, they're not liking it. You have to move on to something else and do another character. You know. But so, what are we gonna do now?
We're gonna talk about comics we read
again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay. First, I'll talk about Action 965.
Didn't read it.
It was good. Action isn't my favorite Superman book. Superman has to be my favorite of that, but I think it's still not too bad. This issue dealt with Lois going into the Daily Planet as that Earth's Lois, the one who died. And I guess this is kind of a spoiler if you read it.
That's
but,
okay.
And Superwoman. And she was told to go there to, I think she was like investigating something. They wanted her to check in on something. Lois did. She wrote her a letter, the dead Lois, to the one that's alive and older to go in. Well, she goes in and she, you know, meets some people and she's trying to act like she's that Lois and she's trying to figure out like, who's this person? Well, I know Jimmy, but who's this? But it was a fun issue just to see.
So
it
had, the original Lois is taken.
Yes, it's trying to take on the mantle
as the other.
Yes, okay. And it wasn't bad. There wasn't a lot to it. Had really nice covers though. Both covers I just really liked. But that was 965. Britannia, number two. I've liked this book. This one jumps in a little bit more about what the main character, I just can't remember his name at all. But the main character is basically a detective who is investigating this monster in the area. And he was sent by Nero, and not really as Nero, but I forget, they're kind of like oracles of some sort. These women that kind of keep a flame going in their area, and if they don't, like, basically the world comes to an end. But they sent him off to go investigate this whole situation with a monster, and basically that's basically it. Either, you know, he's getting into looking to see there. He goes and joins up with these troops. He has like a, not a sidekick, I guess he's like a servant of some sort that follows him, comes with him, and they're just looking into it, and they're just, the soldiers that he's with, that he meets up with, are just very, they don't like him very well. They don't like him in the area. They're like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, we don't care if Nero sent you or whatever, you know, you're just getting in our way and stuff like that. And then he figures out there's something quite not right with the soldiers. They almost seem like they're possessed of some sort. But it's been really good. I just like how well constructed the book is. Like, it's a very nice, nice paper they're using, everything. It has some reading material in the back of the book that you get to read about, like, the time period and stuff like that. It's just really cool book. Clone Conspiracy Number 1. In this book, Peter investigates more about this new U company.
Right.
And he starts to... He kind of sneaks into it. To see what's going on, and he's following a tracker that he put into his employee that in previous issues of Spider-Man, he used the New U technology. He had them, you know, the company New U.
As a new universe?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's a some company name. Okay. But he had that company. Basically, what they do is they create new organs that are, you know, cloned organs, okay. Basically. Well, okay. He just creates, yeah. So, while they did that, Peter shook the guy's hand, this employee that needed this organ, after he had the operation to replace it, his spider sense goes off, warning him something's not right. So he didn't use that when his, step-uncle, I guess, needed this, and his step-uncle, we learn in this issue, did die. And that was, like, at the beginning of the issue, the funeral and stuff like that. And it didn't seem like anybody was mad at him, except for J. Jonah, for his decision on that. But we learned, though, that Peter, when he was
shaking... How did it become his decision? That's my question.
They, John Jameson Sr. Decided that he would know. He would know better. Oh, what's going on? If Peter didn't think it was the thing,
okay, gotcha.
Then he said he wasn't going to do it. And at the end, before it was too late, Peter decided just do it because he wanted to save him that
right.
much.
But yeah, no, but I'm just saying. But he's like right. the step nephew.
Yeah, it seemed like he
twice removed.
Yeah.
It was like,
but it was just he trusted his decision on the situation. But yeah. Anyways, when they were doing the operation on the employee, he put a tracker in him. He somehow injected it in him. I guess Peter has a lot of things now that he uses in his web shooting.
He's a millionaire.
So. Oh, yeah. But he used a tracker, so he tracked the guy to the company, and when he gets there, he's basically a nervous system, and that's all that's left of him. So at some point, he didn't take his medicine he was supposed to, I guess, is what they were getting at, because you're supposed to take a pill to keep you kind of going. It was kind of the same plot as Archer and Armstrong just had recently with those clones. That they were creating of Armstrong, where they had to take a pill in order to stay, you know, good. But, so he's found out by the Jackal that he's there, and you know, now he's kind of getting it together about something's up. You know, something's going on with this company. So, there's a backup about Gwen Stacy in it.
Yeah.
About when, because she was the first one we were introduced to. I think she was the first one we were introduced to that she had returned. And, let me think how that went. They went through basically about she came back, but they're not clones. They're actually resurrected, basically. They're brought back to life. So as far as we know, that's what they are. She uses, you figure out that she, you know, how she comes back, they figure out, you know, he's just going through the introduction, you have to take this pill, you're alive, this. He wanted her to agree with him on this was okay, and he brings out Captain Stacy. And so he's back, and there's just a lot of people back from the dead. But it was just a little, how did she come back, and when did they recreate her, and what has she been doing since she's been back, kind of thing. So So it was a nice little backup, but again, that could have been taken care of in the Amazing Spider-Man book, and they could have added on to our, you know, $5 book that we read, and that was kind of a problem. But so far, it's not a bad story. I'm kind of enjoying the clone stuff a little bit, even though I never really liked any of the clone stuff ever, but this has been kind of interesting, so I want to see where this goes. Darth Vader number 25. Did you read it, Dave?
Yes, I read that, yes.
What did you think?
I liked it.
I liked it. I thought it had a good conclusion. First of all, the cover of that book. You were talking about that.
I thought the cover was great. Cover. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had a million covers, but I thought the main cover one was fantastic. The best. Yeah.
The thing I didn't care for it. Well, first of all, this book's been a little delayed, so I kind of forgot what happened in the last bunch of issues. But the stuff that happened to what's his name, Silo, Silo, whatever number he is now, that kind of came to a conclusion really quick.
Yeah,
that was my only complaint, because he just kind of if I remember from the last issue, he died, and then he brought himself back, because that's what he does. He brings himself back as clones. And I guess Darth Vader kind of met up with him where he was cloned from, I guess? That ship?
Yeah, he's on that whale ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he uses the clones to kind of hold Darth Vader down, but he takes them all out. Yeah. And in the end, he uses the Force, and he's just like, throw yourself into the sun or something like that. And Silo's like, he says, you know, your Force tricks don't work on me. I'm too advanced. He's like, I wasn't talking to you, and he was talking to the whale.
Yeah, he's talking to
And the
ship.
Whale crashed itself into the sun, and Darth Vader escaped in time, I guess. But the whole stuff with Aphra was kind of...
That stuff was great.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of well thought out.
A lot of weight to it, I thought.
Yeah.
And it was a very satisfying conclusion with Aphra.
She thought
spills the beans to the Emperor.
She kind of didn't... It didn't work exactly how she thought. But I think it worked in the way they planned. I think Darth Vader knows, right? That was his plan, too, wasn't it? To do what happened?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's the whole thing I don't know. Well, basically, in this, she... She tells the Emperor everything that Vader's been doing, and the Emperor looks like at that. And she was hoping he'd be like, oh, you're, you know, a traitor or something. And instead, he looked at it as he was strong, and he was
very
smart.
Very impressed.
And he was impressed by it, and he's just like, just dispose of her how you want. Yeah. And he puts her in an airlock and shoots her out into space. And you're assuming she's not going to survive that.
Yeah.
And he walks off and does his own thing.
Until we heard there was going to be a Dr.
Yeah,
Aphra
she gets
series.
Her own book.
Yes, that's the only thing.
And she's rescued by the droids.
By the droids, and they use the same thing they used... the technology they were using to when they robbed the armored ship or whatever with all the money in it.
Yeah.
Or however, whatever they did to steal money from. I forget. Maybe that was a planet they stole it from. But they saved her. She was a little beat up at the time, but, you know, they have those little test tube things that they stay in. And it kind of heals them and stuff like that. But, she was able to escape that in some way, shape, or form, and Darth Vader was put in command of that their main Star Destroyer.
Yeah, I don't know if
I forget
it's
what it's
pronounced.
Called. The Excelsior?
No, it's either Executor.
The Executor.
Or Executor. I've never heard it pronounced. Either. But yeah, that's an important point that he's given the Star Destroyer.
And but I mean, it had a good conclusion. It had some backups in it. One of them was like a sand person. It was a whole sand person backup.
It was no words at all.
Yeah.
But it was Vader returning to Tatooine to kill more Tusken Raiders.
For some reason.
Like he did in...
He was still very angry about that situation.
Yeah.
It seems like a waste. It's why was he all of a sudden just wake up upset one day and he's like, I'm going to go kill some sand people.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's what he did. And then at the end, like the sand person was like, they're worshiping him as like a god because they built like a statue of him.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, so that's what we paid extra money for. By the way,
good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. But let's see, Wonder Woman number 8. I've really enjoyed the the year one story that they've been doing. This one was about Barbara Minerva, who is Cheetah, and a little bit of her origin, her backstory, and how why what she was doing, you know, with studying Amazons and trying to find the Amazon city and with the mascara and stuff like that. That was basically it, but it was really good. It was a really good issue. I liked it. Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 12 was fantastic. I
was
really
that the last issue of that?
No, it's still going. It's getting there though. In this issue, Galad is trying. He's went back to basically. I've been considering this like almost like a limbo afterlife, where he always ends up when he dies, and then he's able to leave it and become resurrected again on Earth. And in order to do this, he has to go through like this demon world first. And his firstborn, went into the demon world not too long ago, and he's went after him into this world. And they catch Galad, and, you know, they're ready to torture him, but the leader of them, I think his name is, like, Lord Humongous or something like that, tells them to leave, and he makes a deal with them to I forget what they called it exactly. It's another part of the, where they kind of banish demons that they don't want around in their area. And one of them in there is leading them, that world over there, and they want Galad to go in there and take him down. And he said, basically, he has your son. And he does. And this guy he's going after has him like has a club, and he has him tied to the club, and his son, and he has to go after him and, you know, kill him. Well, it works for this lord of all these demons, because this guy's trying to take over his territory and take him out, become the leader of all of them again. So, like, he has a plan, you know, save my son, but you also have to help me defeat this. And that was kind of his plan, and then he, whatever, you know, path they go from there. But it was a really good issue. I've really liked this book, so it's going to be a shame to see it in. But who knows, they'll have an Eternal Warrior book coming out, I know, after this one, so I'm not concerned. Earth 2 Society, number 17. It was an interesting issue because it deals with the aftermath of her opening the Pandora, the Pandora casket, which was supposed to recreate the previous Earth 2 onto this new world that Talos gave them and Convergence. And they, Donna Troy opens it up, and in the previous issue, and it just fades to white. And then they go to this world in this issue, and it's basically a sketched outline. Like, it looks like it's not even finished drawing of Earth 2 over top of where they are. So it's kind of messed up the world or whatever they've done. And there are all the superheroes of Earth 2 are kind of finally meeting up again and meeting them again. And they're being attacked by basically these characters that look like the old Sandman, who is was already a character in Earth 2. But, you know, the one that wore, like, the gas mask and stuff like that, there's a whole bunch of them in this thing, and they want to eliminate them. Sandman. Yeah, but they seem that they don't think that they belong there, basically. So they're basically trying to take them out. It's been interesting. I like this storyline. I haven't really been that fond of Earth 2 Society. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. And the only other one I want to talk about is Detective Comics number 942. Detective,
No, that was the last part of.
Yeah, that was the last part of the Monster Men story. Really, I wasn't real fond of it. It could have been a lot better. Batman confronts Hugo Strange. They, you know, take down the big monster. The big monster is being affected by, to take down the big monster, they have to use. When they got to this point in the book, I almost thought they were going to turn it into, like, something similar to Power Rangers or something, or even Voltron, where basically all of the sidekick characters, like Nightwing and Batwoman and Spoiler and what are they calling her now? Orphan. All got into different buildings that they were calling towers, and they were just like, all right, engage or something. I was like, are they going to turn into a big robot and fight this monster? They didn't. They turned, basically all these turned into big guns that they were just shooting the monster with. And I was just like, yeah, this is, it's pretty close though. So it just wasn't that interesting. It could have been a lot better. And then fighting Hugo Strange at the end was just, he didn't really fight him and just kind of confused him in a way, and it wasn't very good. I thought this whole story could have been a lot better. I thought it started off pretty good, but by the end I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of done with this Monster Men thing. But that's it. That's all I read. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. You let go? Dave do the grand finale.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
So All-Star Batman number 3.
I read that.
I know you did.
I saved it for him.
It was good. A little confusing. Was KG Beast? Although then they crossed off KG.
He's now the Beast.
He's just the Beast.
Which makes sense, I guess. Let's,
right.
Well,
might as well
start calling him that because, I mean, well, it depends on the new America we're going into. It might make more of a difference, but...
No, you don't want to see the tweets that are, or the text. That,
I don't?
No. Don't look at your phone. You're not on the text thread. Be happy, Dave.
Okay.
Was he at the end of issue 2? Did he show up? Okay, because
he was hired in the last issue.
Okay, maybe I forgot because all of a sudden
black mask and that tiger, that shark guy.
Because it just kind of started in the action.
Great white shark
with the Beast attacking.
Yeah,
I thought it was good.
I thought this was the better of the issues. I don't really know when. What's his name? Now I forget it. The Hunchback.
I don't know. Dr. Allnut.
Yeah. Well, he was a more of a 90s Batman character.
Oh, okay.
He lived in the Batcave and he made him gadgets. Well, in Hush, Hush killed him.
No, he got better.
And Hush used him. He kind of used his surgery, you know, because he's a surgeon, and he got rid of the hump and made, he was able to talk again, and he was fine with that, and then Hush killed him. That was his, you know, he just wanted to find Batman. But I was just like, I brought him back to life, but I'm fine with that. It's not
it was
a huge
good
character.
It, it explained a little more about their past, their relationship, him and, Batman and Two-Face.
They never really have. That was the first time that shows that they knew each other even before that.
I didn't know that they knew each other as children.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever really did. I think this is new to Scott Snyder, but I think it can happen. They're both from Gotham City. They both are about the same age. So, and what's interesting about this is that they didn't necessarily know each other. They didn't really know that they knew each other because they knew each other by numbers. One was like, 42, and the other one was like 41. And they were, they just, at that point, that's all they knew. And then they figured out later on in life that they met before. And I thought that was kind of an interesting, that's a very Scott Snyder way of doing it too. Storytelling where, oh, you know, he knew each other, they knew each other by numbers, but they had a little secret of the past, you know, and I thought it was kind of neat. But yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, it was good.
The backup was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
That Duke backup.
Yeah.
So.
Doom Patrol 2.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
You know what happened?
Yeah, no, I don't know what happened. Robot Man put his brain in, and then they showed up.
I thought
up.
There was a little more action in it.
Yeah, there was a lot more action in it. A lot
I don't
of people
know who
shooting
he was
up.
Fighting exactly.
Right, right.
The other guy's Negative Man, I know.
Larry. Yeah, Negative Man showed up and knew he knows Robot Man.
Larry Trainer, yeah.
Right, right, with the crazy eyes, because he's negative. And then at the very end, then she starts talking to Danny the Street and walks through a curtain and in, what is it, Dannyland?
Is it Dannyland now? Yeah.
Yeah. And
said Dannyland.
And there was Flex Mentallo, and it's really bizarre.
Yeah.
I just had somebody buy volume one of the Morrison. He's like, I need to figure out what the hell's going on. I'm like, I hear you, man.
I almost feel like you're going to have to go back.
That's scary to read Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol to figure out.
Isn't that right? Wow. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. But good in a Morrison way. In a, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm enjoying it. It's you know, turning the page is fun. The Niles Calder thing where all of a sudden he's flying. You know, just one page. Last time it was him playing music. Now he's thinking.
I feel like he's getting to where he needs to be. Like, he's going to show up one day in his hot air balloon. But I like how the mountain moved.
Yeah.
Like, the facial expression changed. It's fun. I'd say I'm still interested, even though we don't really know what's going on. That's almost like... this one... a little harder to understand than Shade the Changing Girl. I think at least you know somewhat was going on. Now all the stuff going on in the background. I think that's the same with, I'm not going to talk too much about it because it came out today, but Cave Carson, which it at least gave you a little bit of story, but the stuff happening in his head that gets all psychedelic looking, that's kind of a problem, you know?
Mm.
But, Doom Patrol, I'm still reading it. I'm still curious what they're going to do with this. What's the Gotham City one called?
Mother Panic.
Yeah, I wonder if that one's going to be kind of like these. But I expect that they all kind of have the same kind of feel to them. So.
Yeah. Okay. Solo number one. Do anybody else read that?
No.
No? None of you guys read this? Oh,
Lytle
texted me in the middle of, he said... What the hell is this? He's like, and I'm like, I haven't read that. He's like, don't bother. And talking to him today, he only read half of it. And I did read it, and it was as generic could be. He's a mercenary who can teleport, and he'll take on any job. Oh, and he's on the phone during his one mission with his wife, or his girlfriend, or somebody who's bathing their daughter. Yet she's on the phone on her cell phone with it tucked under. It's like, really? You couldn't have picked a better time to call him? It's like, we really need to talk now. It's like, really, when you're bathing the kid? And now he's got to go on a secret mission for S.H.I.E.L.D. to rescue an agent. And at the end, they're like, it doesn't matter. This guy's completely disposable, blah, blah, or expendable. And it's like, there's just nothing to it. It is as generic as could be. Sorry, in the sales, I'm seeing stores that sold none. And it's like, wow. Just not good. I did not read Great Lakes Avengers and sold out of it, so I don't have anything to say there. Mosaic is the other one that came out last week, the new number one. It was fine. Basically, it's the story of this guy. He was a hotshot basketball player. Thought he was the MVP, and he let everybody know that he was the best, and teammates resented him and stuff. A lot of people didn't like him, and then the Terrigen Mist came and turned him into an inhuman, and he can inhabit people's bodies, kind of like Dead Man. And it was fine, but it's just, okay. And he goes into some, like, gangbanger or something, and he's like, no, don't do it, Timmy, but, which is completely against his character, where at the beginning, who cares? So it was.
Sounds like Quantum Leap, too.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, not that it didn't go into time, but yeah.
Right, just...
Yeah, but it... Yeah, it was fine, but yeah, again, like I said, just the problem is a character, new character, $5 book, and they promoted him way long ago. I remember when they were putting out, it was a great, great cover with all the different faces and stuff, kind of implying that he can go into different bodies and stuff, right. But they didn't hype it. Oh, one other thing, just getting back to the Nick Spencer thing, is I meant to go and look at comparing, like I saw yesterday, or even this morning, DC did a promo of Cave Carson, and then I look at the Marvel stuff, and it's all movie and TV on their, like, Facebook feed and their Twitter feeds, and I wanted to look at the, the last five Marvel press releases, and it's all about Resurrection and stuff that I can't even order yet, because not even in the previews yet, as opposed to why aren't they talking about the books that are coming out this week. I give DC a lot of credit for that, because they are hyping the present, not as much the future. Yeah, I just wish they would have done a little more to promote the stuff to get the people to buy stuff that I've already ordered.
That's a big problem, I thought.
Yeah, they're always so far ahead. Everything I saw was Resurrection, which is great, but, how about we get through this stupid Civil War
before advertising Clone Conspiracy is Dead No More, then Clone Conspiracy, then Amazing Spider-Man Presents Dead No More, a Clone Conspiracy. I mean, they just, get it together. Where did Solo, what is that from?
He was a character. I remember I can see the cover of his miniseries back in the 90s, and then he was in the Deadpool Mercs for Money.
Because I remember so book. Many Marvel characters. I do not remember. Yeah,
he's a mercenary. Yay.
I remember Slapstick over a character like
yeah.
Soap
well, that's thing. Coming.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay.
And it's Fred Van Lente, but the problem is I never like Slapstick at all. He's not that interesting of a character, but maybe, you know, but like we said with Vision, like everybody was just like, Vision's getting his own book, but it turned out to be a good book, so who knows?
The Impossible Man.
But I can see that as a mini series, yeah. Not a, yeah. You know. Impossible Man. Whatever happened to him?
I know.
Well, we don't have a Fantastic Four book.
So. Yeah, there you go. He's a Fantastic Four universe.
That's right. But they're using a Deadpool character. Like, okay, so he just showed up in Deadpool, you said. But is this book anything like Deadpool?
No. So no, I mean, like there was some humor. Like, the his entire mission in it was to rescue a dog that had been stolen by... It was really weird, because I forget who it was, the Trapster or somebody had stolen this dog. So he gets into his secret lair to rescue this dog. Uh-huh. And the lair's defense mechanism was to implode and destroy everything in it. I'm like, okay, that seems a little extreme to destroy all your stuff. So it was just...
But it wasn't going to get the Deadpool people, was it?
No. I don't think Deadpool people would have any interest.
It's weird.
Reborn. This is the new one from Mark Miller and Greg Capullo.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. The only thing... Now, basically what it's about is this lady who's just at the end of her life. You know, and she's reminiscing about, you know, her past and stuff, and... It shows, you know, like some, like a caregiver, you know, she's, I'm going to say in her 80s in a home and stuff, and her body's kind of failing, and it ends with her passing away and waking up in this land where it's like Game of Thrones type, you know, stuff going on, being attacked, and she's reborn in this younger body, and it's like they have been expecting her. She is the chosen one, I think. That's my only problem, is all these characters in new situations don't know what's going on, but they're the chosen one. Just made me think of, like, Harry Potter, where he's the greatest wizard ever who has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
I bit of a trope, mm-hmm. being that.
Yeah.
At least in this one, it's like they saw her and were scared of her, but she didn't know anything. She couldn't, you know, magically all the power comes out of her and does exactly what it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So, but no, the art was absolutely beautiful. I sold through, and I sold through a lot of copies. I thought I way over-ordered. I was really surprised when I went to check.
It was hyped online a lot. It's been hyped a lot because of...
But he's hit and miss. Greg like, Polo's Empress reason. Didn't do that as great. Yeah. Jupiter's Legacy, number one, I ordered a boatload of, and I have half a boatload
half
left.
Half a boatload.
So... I was very happy that that one sold as well as it did. Real good.
I almost think Greg Capullo sold it.
More. That could be too.
I think the reason for that was because that was his reason really for leaving Batman, if you remember.
Right.
Because that's what he was saying. I'm working on a book with. So that might have been the reason. So it's been brought up a lot to a lot of people. So it was good. It was really good.
I liked it.
And then the last one I read was the Warlords of Appalachia.
Appalachia.
Or however Adam always says I say it wrong.
I didn't say you said it wrong.
Oh, okay. Did anybody else read that? No?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is one from Boom. Interestingly, Dan Garbark's cousin wrote this.
He's a customer.
Yeah, Dan's a customer.
Wow.
But very interesting set, present day, but Kentucky has either had a civil war or seceded from the Union. You're not really sure exactly what happened. The main character was in the Kentucky National Guard, but left it before the fighting started. And it's like the states have reclaimed Kentucky, but there's still these outliers who aren't willing to do that. And they're like, they have to go, like somebody's dropping in food for them. There's lots of weird stuff going on. Like his son is blue. And there's a comment along the way saying, oh, I thought all the blues something.
He's sad.
And they really don't go more into it. So something's going on. There's some drug that's worse than meth that some people are taking and it's driving them crazy, but it's just like a little blurb on a page. They don't really go into it. He's friends with one of the police military people and talking to her at their house when all of a sudden more military people come in to kind of raid as a raid on his house, and bad, really, really bad stuff happens at the end. And this guy kind of goes off, and he's going to see this big confrontation, like driving a big tank. So it's not pretty, and it's funny, Pat just texted me, and he said, Warlords of Appalachia hit a bit too close to home, and it's something that should the country head the wrong direction here, I could see this happening. And it said, and the art on All-Star Batman was, well, not good. We'll substitute his word. So that's Pat's. So that's all I got, Dave.
Okay. Kill or be killed,
I forgot
three.
To take that home.
Are you threatening Colin?
No, that's a good. The first two were really good. I forgot to take number three home.
Yeah, this has been so good. This is the Image series, Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips, Kid Dylan. He's in his like early 20s or so. And he has to kill somebody who deserves it every month, or he's going to die at the end of the month. So in the previous issue, he made his first kill. And he spends this issue looking at the news, seeing what they're saying about the murder. And he just spends the whole time, you know, wondering if he did the right thing. Is he dreaming of this demon? He killed this guy because he molested his best friend when they were young.
Okay.
And he's like, did I remember that right? Did I not remember that right? And then it comes to light, the news reports that this guy was part of a child sex ring.
Okay.
And he feels invincible. Dylan feels, you know, like he did the right thing. And he's just invincible. There's like a little sequence where he sees the demon again, and I think he can like see what people are thinking and some of the bad stuff they do, so he has this power now. But it's really good. Just really good. The thought process of what Dylan goes through after deciding who to kill and the ramifications of that. Just really good. Everyone should get this book. Next, let's go to Daredevil, Marvel book. Daredevil number 12.
I took it home to read because it was interesting where he's fighting in humans or something on the cover. I was intrigued. I'm like, what does he have to do with this?
Well, yeah, this is part three of the Dark Art arc. And they found this painting with people's blood. And then in the previous issue, they found these like this art installation made with dead inhumans. And at the beginning of this issue, Daredevil confronts the villain who's doing all this stuff, and his name is Muse, M-U-S-E. I think he's like, there's not a lot of color in this book, but I think he's like yellow, kind of looks like slap, and has like suspenders on, kind of weird. Matt Murdock, you know, he goes to investigate, stops by, you know, where the installation was, and the humans have like taken over the investigation of this. And the head of the New Adelin security force is this guy, Frank McGee, who was affected by the Terrigen Mist. And he can like take a picture with his eyes, it like flashes, and he has that. So he's taking pictures of the crime scene. He has that in his head, and he said he could like bring that picture up in his mind anytime and look at it from different angles and all that kind of stuff, which was kind of cool. And Matt asks him if the Inhumans will share the information about the case with him. And he says, you got to talk to Medusa. So he goes and confronts Medusa. First, he has to fight Karnak. And Medusa doesn't want any part of sharing information with him. But this is a pretty good issue. I mean, this hasn't been the greatest Daredevil run ever, but this issue kept me interested. Next, Briggsland.
Okay.
Number 3 by Brian Wood. This is the family anti-government secessionists who the patriarch is in jail for trying to kill conspiring to kill the president of the United States, and his wife is taking over, is trying to take over the community. And she, there's an attempt made on her life. This guy, Ben Cawley, went into the compound and tried to kill her. And this issue, they try to set, she and Gray, her name's Grace Briggs, and her son, they try to set up, to try to get back at him. They set up on a road outside of their compound. They set it up so she has a, make it look like she has a broken down car, so this guy will stop, and her son's hiding in the woods with a shotgun. But instead of him showing up, the two federal agents who are trying to investigate, okay, trying to investigate, you know, Jim Briggs and what's going on with Briggs Land, stop in the shootout. Stop, and her son shoots anyway, and there's a little shootout. And now the other agent, you know, is mad at the guy because, you know, they know what he looks like now. They're trying to investigate. She is, Grace, she's trying to, and there's some flashbacks, and Grace is trying to, she's kind of a sympathetic character. Her sons are up to no good, but she's trying to run the compound differently than her husband did, because these kind of situations happened in the past where people tried to take over, and he would, like, kill the perpetrator and send, you know, send her family out, send his family, okay, out of the compound. But this, at the end of this issue, she, the guy has a wife and a little kid, and she allows them to stay because she wants to be different than her husband.
Okay.
But it's a really good series. Lastly, can I talk about Scooby Apocalypse? This was a good issue, Adam. It's pretty much.
You should have read it, Adam.
That was the tone of my voice. Sorry, Adam. I don't mean to be chiding you.
Too late now.
I know, but too late now. I chided you. This is pretty much a whole flashback. The secret.
Well, that's kind
of
cool.
The secret history of Velma Dinkley.
Oh.
So we learn all about Velma from when she was a little kid, and she's always been, nobody liked her. She didn't have any friends.
We kind of learned that from the, that's yeah, what Tim was saying, though, that it's a lot of the books have to deal with. People can't make up their mind if they like Velma or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nobody liked her, and so she retreats, you know, into science in her school books, and everything. And she has four brothers, and they really didn't want anything to do with her either until they're all smart boys, smart men also, and they're the ones who created this compound.
Oh, that makes sense now.
They created the compound to help humanity.
Yeah.
And Velma created these nanotech.
Okay.
To lift humanity to the next level, but her brothers, they're the four.
Yeah, they're the four.
They tampered with it.
That makes sense now. Those jerks.
So, you know, the four, you know, that they're looking for who unleashed this on the world, apparently, that's her brothers.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
That's neat.
But the issue was really well done, I thought. I mean, it's like hard. They put a lot of thought into this issue of giving Velma, you know, real human characteristics and how she reacts.
That makes sense why she's been so, why she's not telling them who they are and stuff like that. That also makes sense why she said the first issue that there were five of them. Remember?
Yeah, yes.
And she hesitated before. She was like, four.
Yeah.
You know? So that means she was wanting to mention. I always assumed she was one, but that's very interesting that they're all family. So, no, that's cool.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
I mean, to make a story that good, you know, from like Scooby-Doo characters,
yeah,
was really good. And there's a backup. There's like a 4 or 5 page backup with Scrappy-Doo.
Oh, that's cool. So and explain some more about that.
I won't tell you what happened. Something happens, big happens to Scrappy-Doo at the end. I won't give that away.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really good. Scooby Apocalypse number 6, I think that was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it? That's it. Oh my gosh.
That's it.
Wow.
I was glad you brought up Doom Patrol so I didn't have to bring it.
We're all happy. We always leave it for somebody else.
I know. That's. I think that's going to be the running theme here is who's going to bring up Doom Patrol.
That's a good podcast title. Who's going to bring up Doom Patrol?
That is good. I got it. All right.
Writing.
There you go.
Okay. So next week.
What's coming up next week,
that's Pat's cue.
What we got next week?
Sorry.
He texted it.
We have Action, all new, all different Avengers as a Civil War tie-in. Art of Atari hardcover. Now, I'm just kind of intrigued by this. It's a book about all the art
really
of the,
nice.
The cases. Yeah,
cool, yeah. Yeah.
So, neat book. I'm
Dars
looking forward to that.
That Revenge art was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to that one. Batgirl 4, Batman Beyond number 1, Bloodshot USA number 1, Blue Beetle number 2, although I know Adam's not going to get it because he's a big poopy face. Call of Duty Zombies, just sounds like fun. Captain America Steve Rogers number 6, another Civil War tie-in. Civil War 2 number 6, finally coming out next week. Deadpool 21 is now, which means it's going to have a big number 1 on the cover. Deathstroke 5, Detective 943, Doctor Strange Mystic Apprentice, as well as Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme. Both number ones coming out next week. A couple more Evil Dead books. Evil Dead 2, Dark Ones Rising number 2. Number 1 came out this week. And then another one-shot, Revenge of Jack the Ripper. Flash number 9, Frostbite number 2. Same writer, crazy. Future Quest number 6, Generation Zero number 3. Guardians of the Galaxy number 13 is a Civil War 2 crossover or tie-in. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern 7, Hangman number 4, Hellblazer number 3. Adam's really making me read number 2, but I try. There's a lot of words in it. Image Plus is next week. Jughead number 10. Ms. Marvel number 12 is a new number 1 as well, or you know, has number 1 on the cover. New Avengers 17 is a Civil War tie-in. New previews next week. So that means the order is due next week. So if there's anything you want out of the October previews, let me know. Prowler number 1 is a now number 1, but it's also a clone conspiracy tie-in. Let me know if you want it. I didn't order a ton because it's Prowler. Saga number 39. Serenity, No Power in the Verse number 1. Serenity always does well. I got a lot of these coming. So, yeah, a lot of people like that. 7 to Eternity, number 2, as well as the second print of number 1 are coming. I have a lot coming of both.
That one
sold out really quick. Skyborn, number 2. This is the Frank Cho one from Boom. Yeah, the first one was quite good. Spookhouse, number 1. This is from Eric Powell, who does Goon and Hillbilly and Chimichanga. Star Wars 24. Star Wars Poe Dameron, number 7. Suicide Squad, number 5. Surgeon X, number 2. That was a good number 1 from Image. Teen Titans number 1. The Skeptics number 1. This is from Black Mask. And what I think this one is basically about is it's set like in the 70s. Superheroes are just starting to come to power. And this one person is a teacher and kind of recruits two students to pretend that they have mental powers. So that they can be important when they're not really important. Titans number 4. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Universe number 3. Totally Awesome Hulk number 11 is a Civil War tie-in, as is Ultimates 12. Vigilante Southland number 1. It's a 6-issue mini from DC with the Vigilante character. Vision number 12, the last issue of that. Wonder Woman number 9, as well as the Wonder Woman 75th Anniversary Special are both coming out next week. So that's everything. I'm noticing that my new highlighter isn't very bright.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of dull. So,
where can they find you, Colin?
They can find me here. That's it. Just here in the store. If I'm not here, good luck. I'm completely unreachable if I'm not here at the store.
Yeah. We don't have technology.
No, we do not. No. So, you can always, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are both at PGH Comics. Always email me, Colin@pittsburghcomics.com. Or find me in the store. Like I said, the preview's due next week, not this week, but next week. So if there's anything in there you're interested, please. Pre-orders have been a big talk on the retailer sites, and I've seen on Twitter and stuff, just because of a lot of these, you know, Marvel ones, I don't know how to order. So if there's something you're interested in, let me know. I hate when I sell out fast and people don't get books they want. That's never a goal, but with the Marvel stuff kind of, I don't want to say underperforming, but not doing as well as you'd expect from a Marvel book. Let me know if there's something you want, because I don't want to be sitting too heavy on a lot of these books.
Especially Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah, I missed that one. I botched that one. I didn't see the demand. I know. But again, I had zero holds when it came out, so nobody told me they wanted it either. And
now you're gonna sound like Nick Spencer blaming everybody.
No. But, you know, there was that big thing where, you know, why is it up to the customers to tell the people what they want and stuff? It's like, well, it's not necessarily your responsibility or anything, but I go based on.
It depends on how much you.
Yeah, if I'm hearing some buzz, I'm hearing people say, "Oh, I'm interested in this," I'll order more. But if I hear nothing, you know, if I'm hearing crickets on Great Lakes Avengers, well, I'm not gonna invest a ton of money into it. So. For fear of, you know, there's a really thin line. I want to have enough for customers, but I don't want to have a lot extra. And trying to guess that number on something like that book is tricky. It's tough. And you kind of, you know, it's all guesswork. And, you know, the problem, especially with Marvel, is if I underestimate, I can't get more. So they're promotion, or at least it used to be. I remember Bill Gemma saying a long time ago, you know, we're not going to do second prints, so if you want a book, you better order lots. And it's like, well, you know, that's putting the burden on me to try to, you know, to over-order. And if it was just one book, it's one thing, but, you know, Marvel's...
I mean, at that time, did they have a return policy, though?
No.
Mm-mm. So, like, who does he think?
Right. But, you know, when Marvel's putting out 90 books, you know, if I'm off by 5 on every book, you know, that's...
What's the benefit to them of not doing the second print?
They wanted to have... more orders up front. Okay. Yeah, it was just a way to get people to over-order. That was the main thing. Putting the burden on the stores, you know, to who do have. And then my problem with that is I have no idea what these books are. You know, I don't. You know, 90% of them have an artist you don't know, have a cover by someone else, so you don't know how the book's going to look. I still go back to the first Captain Marvel series, where it looked great. Had that awesome. I think who was it? Kevin Maguire cover or. Forget who had that original cover on the first Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I forget. Oh, maybe not Kevin Maguire. But it was a real nice cover. And then you open it up and it was Dexter Soy artwork inside. No offense to Dexter Soy, but he's not super clean lines. He's a little dark and grungy. So, I remember, you know, it's just one of those, you know, when you don't know what you're getting, it's really hard.
Yeah.
So, point being, if there's something you're interested in, something that looks good, let me know. You don't, you know, and you never have to, you know, if you ask me to order something other than... special order like a toy or a figure or something like that, you know, you get a book, oh, I don't like this, you don't have to buy it, but at least it lets me know that you're interested.
Yeah.
Or that, you know,
and if you're wanting to also start a pull list,
you know, yeah, it's help. Easy. Yeah, there's really nothing to it, just let me know what you want and I'll happily hold it for you.
A lot of you that have cards already kind of have a pull list if you think about it.
Well, some of them do. A lot of them don't though. Yeah. They're in the system, no, but they don't necessarily have a list. No, I mean, what I mean
is they have the ability to have a pull list already, yeah. So it's easier. So, are you even recording?
Yeah, no,
we are. I was going to be here like, oh.
Yeah, who is that, though? Who drew that? But I'm saying, but then
that
if you look...
I know that, yeah, that's yeah, a nice cover.
But then if you looked inside, yeah, it was
totally... On the,
yeah, it was a completely different art style inside.
Huh.
But yeah, so... I think I'm ready to go home and catch the end of the debate.
Oh yeah. You've been sitting there like you've been... Like,
I've been flipping like through just to see what they're talking about.
Just to be like, yeah. You're like, I gotta get home and watch
no,
this.
No, I'm just intrigued.
Debate.
It's one of those, it's like watching a train wreck. Yeah.
That's a podcast.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.